bastard star. His love endures forever. For the life that's been reborn, his love endures forever. Sing praise.
Welcome to Finding God in Prison with Joe Montone, the founder and director of the WINGS program, an inmate reentry and recovery program. And now, here's your host, Joe Montone.
Good day, my friends, and welcome to Holy Spirit Radio on our program, Finding God in Prison. My name is Joe Montone, your host, and it's a privilege and pleasure to be here back on the air at 1570 AM WISP and 1420 AM WCOJ. In our show today, my friends, we're going to be talking about men and women of faith who have done extraordinary things with God's help. And the purpose of this program is to inspire you, my friends, to go out and to do something extraordinary for God. God's word said that man can do no great things, only God can do great things. But with God's help, man can do extraordinary things. And it's powerful. So it all depends on your relationship with God. Are you rooted in the Word of God? Do you rely on the Word of God for your source of decision making? Are you in partnership with the Word of God? This is important, my friends. Or are you basically not in tune with what God says to do and not to do? The first person we want to highlight today is Henry Flagler, who was a very, very successful independent businessman who built the railroad from Jacksonville, Florida to Key West. And as he built the railroad all the way down to Key West, hundreds of miles, he built many towns. And in every town, he had a hospital, a school, and a church. A hospital, school, and church to take care of the sick, to educate the kids, and to spiritually lift up the people. And as he built the railroad all the way down to Key West, my friends, he also built apartment houses, apartment complexes, housing developments, hotels. The project began when he was roughly 63 years old and ended when he was close to 80 years old. And I just tell you that it was not without challenge. Several hurricanes or tropical storms had come into the area, and some of his equipment and workers were thrown into the ocean and killed during the actual process of building this railroad from Jacksonville to Key West. And with that, the project was set back several years. But it took him, quite a long time to finish this project, and he did it for the right reasons. And to just tell you, he was a man of faith who did some extraordinary things in the area of construction. So if you and I, my friends, want to do something out there, if you're inspired by this gentleman, who built Florida, what can you do in your life? Do you think you can get a business off the ground or a successful house or apartment complex? With God, all things are possible. I want you to remember that, because our job today is to inspire you to move forward. And remember, he began this project at about 63 years old. So for those of you out there who are just coming home from prison, or you're in recovery from substance abuse or alcoholism, or you're in transition because of the loss of a job, or you're in depression or just coming out of a long-term depression, there is hope, and God gives you that hope and vision into the future. But you have to seek him out. You have to build up a relationship with God, and he will open doors that no man can close, and he will close doors that no man can open. He will give you opportunities to achieve great things for his greater glory. Okay, and it's powerful. And I want you to have those opportunities, but you got to remember to seek thee first, the kingdom of God, and everything else will come. The second person we want to talk about is a woman of faith, Mother Teresa of Calcutta. And Mother Teresa was a religious nun who was very content at one point in living in a convent, basically with her sisters. But at some point, she had a heart to do more. She needed something more to do in helping other people. She didn't know what exactly she was called to do, but she had a heart to do more. And so she asked for permission to leave that convent. And with that, she was given permission. And for about a year or two, she went out into the streets and to find her way, find her calling, to get, you know, to do whatever she felt called to do. And it was a struggle. But throughout the time, God led her, and someone donated a car to her cause. And basically, she raffled off that car and took in about $100,000 and opened up her first home. And she opened up the Missionaries of Charity, serving the homeless and AIDS victims. And truly, you know, she was called to a life to do more for other people, for people who really are in a position in life where they need help. They're very needy. So Mother Teresa, her goal was to help people to die with dignity, to give them clean sheets, a meal, and to help them get well or to die with dignity. She was a person who was rooted in God's word, and before she died, she had more than 500 homes for the homeless and AIDS victims. And with that, she had 2,000 sisters who worked with her. And many years ago, I had the opportunity to visit with one of her homes and the sisters there up in North Jersey. And the first thing I noticed was that these people were very humble. They had a lot of humility, and they showed me that humility as they toured me throughout the house. And basically, you know, one of the things I saw that they have an us and we mentality, not an I and me, but an us and we mentality. And I've mentioned this before because that is so important. In a lot of homes today, we have a lot of focus on me, I, myself, and what I can do for me. How do I please me? But here, the focus was other people. And, you know, God says it best, whatever you do for the least of your brothers, you've done it for me. Whatever you did not do for the least of your brothers, you didn't do it for me. So here, within the Missionaries of Charity, where they had more than 2,000 women working in various parts of the world, helping the homeless and people with AIDS, you know, Mother Teresa, as a leader, had great, you know, depth of knowledge and insight to the faith through the Word of God. And she said this because she ran into a lot of people with no peace. She said the fruit of silence is prayer. The fruit of prayer is faith. The fruit of faith is love. And the fruit of love is service. And finally, the fruit of service is peace within your own heart. I'll say it again. The fruit of silence is prayer. Are you praying? The fruit of prayer is faith. Is your faith growing? The fruit of faith is love. The second greatest commandment, to love one another. The fruit of love is service to others. And the fruit of service is peace within your own heart. As you go through that series of steps, God blesses you and I with peace, and he puts us in balance spiritually, mentally, and physically. And when we have peace, we can put joy in our lives, the joy of the Lord, to be truly happy versus depressed. Peace is a great goal, and Mother Teresa said this in addition. The greatest disease in the world is a lack of love. And she worked with people who are homeless, unloved, people who are untouchable, who had AIDS, who turn off other people out of fear of getting AIDS. Think about it. So they're unloved. What can you and I do, my friends, to carry out the second greatest commandment, to love one another? What can we do? How do we do it? It takes a lot of humility to love other people. But that's our calling. Even the ones who are hard to love, we are called to love like our enemies. God calls us to love your enemies and to pray for those who persecute you. This is important. So Mother Teresa was a woman of faith who did extraordinary things. Henry Flagler in the area of construction, building up the state of Florida, built the railroad from Jacksonville to Key West, Florida. Mother Teresa, before she died, opened up 500 homes for the homeless and AIDS victims. Did a tremendous job as a woman of faith to inspire other people, both men and women, children, to lift people out of poverty. And she did it because she was called to do it. She had a heart to do more. Do you, my friends, have a heart to do more and you don't know what to do? It's time to get on our knees and to pray to God to enlighten the Holy Spirit within us and to give us guidance and direction on the pathway to take. There are many options out there. God will reveal it to you if you have quality time for God, if you have a heart for God and to help his people, and if the word of God is your source of decision making, and if you are free of distractions, my friend, because distractions take us out of the game. It takes us away from God, puts us back into what feels good, WFG. We've got to have balance. But God is at the helm, where he's number one. It's God, and then you, and then family, and then work, community service, and hobbies and sports. Our third person of faith, Martin Luther King Jr., a Baptist minister, a leader in the civil rights movement. God prepared him. He was rooted in the word of God. He said this. He said, hatred cannot drive out hatred. Only love can do that. Very powerful statement. And Martin Luther King Jr. led the civil rights movement. And he was given the Nobel Peace Prize in 1964 for ending segregation amongst people, amongst children. He was a man of faith rooted in the word of God, and he delivered the word of God to other people. Here's what he said about work. He said, if a man is called to be a street sweeper, he should sweep streets even as Michelangelo painted or Beethoven composed music or Shakespeare wrote poetry. He should sweep streets so well that all the hosts of heaven and earth will pause to say, here lived the great street sweeper who did his job well. He had a work ethic. He worked tirelessly to end segregation, even through incarceration and terrible tragedies that took place. He said, injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere. And God is a God of justice. And he will bring justice to every situation as he helped Martin Luther King Jr. to end segregation. Martin Luther King Jr. said this. He said, when evil men plot, good men must plan. When evil men shout ugly words of hatred, good men must commit themselves to the glories of love. So are you plotting or planning? Are you shouting ugly words of hatred, or are you committed to the glories of love? My friends, think about it. Martin Luther King Jr. said this, when we let freedom ring, when we let freedom ring from every village and every hamlet, from every state and every city, we will be able to speed up that day when all of God's children, black men and white men, Jews and Gentiles, Protestants and Catholics, will be able to join hands and sing in the words of that old Negro spiritual, free at last, thank God Almighty, we are free at last. This is a man rooted in the Word of God because he was prepared by God to do what he had to do. And he was killed for the cause because people disagreed with him. When you're in the public and you stand up for the morals, values, ethics, biblical principles of Jesus Christ, sometimes people will disagree with you. You might even be killed for the cause. Remember, the Lord himself was killed, and all he did was bring good to the people. Martin Luther King Jr. was a martyr. He went through jail in Birmingham and wrote a 10-page letter to clergymen, to ministers and pastors who disagree with his action. It's powerful. He said this on April 16, 1963. My dear fellow clergymen, while confined here in the Birmingham City Jail, I came across your recent statement calling my present activities unwise and untimely. Seldom do I pause to answer criticism of my work and ideas. If I sought to answer all the criticisms that cross my desk, my secretaries would have little time for anything other than such correspondence in the course of the day, and I would have no time for constructive work. But since I feel that you are men of genuine good, and that your criticisms are sincerely set forth, I want to try to answer your statement in what I hope will be patient and reasonable terms. I think I should indicate why I am here in Birmingham, since you have been influenced by the view which argues against outsiders coming in. I have the honor of serving as president of the Southern Christian Leadership Conference, an organization operating in every southern state and headquarters in Atlanta, Georgia. We have some 85 affiliated organizations across the South, and one of them is the Alabama Christian Movement for Human Rights. Frequently, we share staff, educational, and financial resources with our affiliates. Several months ago, the affiliate here in Birmingham asked us to be on call to engage in a nonviolent direct action program if such were deemed necessary. We readily consented, and when the hour came, we lived up to our promise. So I, along with several members of my staff, am here because I was invited here. I am here because I have organizational ties here. But more basically, I am in Birmingham because injustice is here. Just as the prophets of the 8th century B.C. left their villages and carried their Thus Saith the Lord far beyond the boundaries of their hometowns, and just as the Apostle Paul left his village of Tarsus and carried the gospel of Jesus Christ to the far corners of the Greco-Roman world, so am I compelled to carry the gospel of freedom beyond my own hometown. Like Paul, I must constantly respond to the Macedonian call for aid. Moreover, I am cognizant of the interrelatedness of all communities and states. I cannot sit idly by in Atlanta and not be concerned about what happens in Birmingham. Injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere. We are caught in an inescapable network of mutuality, tied in a single garment of destiny. Whatever affects one directly affects all indirectly. Never again can we afford to live with the narrow provincial outside agitator idea. Anyone who lives inside the United States can never be considered an outsider anywhere within its bounds. You deplore the demonstrations taking place in Birmingham, but your statement, I am sorry to say, fails to express a similar concern for the conditions that brought about the demonstrations. I am sure that none of you would want to rest content with the superficial kind of social analysis that deals merely with effects and does not grapple with underlying causes. It is unfortunate that demonstrations are taking place in Birmingham, but it is even more unfortunate that the city's white power structure left the Negro community with no alternative. In any violent campaign, there are four basic steps. Collection of the facts to determine whether injustices exist. Negotiation, self-purification, and direct action. We have gone through all these steps in Birmingham. There can be no gainsaying the fact that racial injustice engulfs this community. Birmingham is probably the most thoroughly segregated city in the United States. Its ugly record of brutality is widely known. Negroes have experienced grossly unjust treatment in the courts. There have been more unsolved bombings of Negro homes and churches in Birmingham than in any other city in the nation. My friends, that's the first page of a 10-page paper written from the Birmingham jail by Martin Luther King Jr. on April 16, 1963. A very powerful message to pastors and leaders of churches who disagreed with his activism. But it was the Holy Spirit within him, as he was prepared by God to bring forth a message of equality and end segregation. Isn't it time that children go to school together? Isn't it time that blacks and whites live together, work together, eat together, play ball together? Isn't it time, my friends, to do things the way our Lord Jesus Christ calls us to do it? He calls us to love one another. Everybody needs to be loved. The greatest disease in the world, the lack of love. So we have to go forth from this point on, from today, with that mentality to eliminate jealousy and envy, selfishness, bitterness, hatred, lust, cynicism, anger, greed, pride, prejudice, and the superego. Again, Martin Luther King Jr. said, hatred cannot drive out hatred. Only love can do that. And today we see a lot of hatred out there, my friends. We cannot change the past. We can only go forward with God's way of doing things. And he calls us to line up with what he says to do and not to do. Everyone. It's important to note that Martin Luther King Jr. refers to the gospel of Jesus Christ and St. Paul. He points out many things on a spiritual level because he's rooted in the Word of God. And this is powerful, my friends. You and I need to do the same. Our decisions must be based on God's Word. What he wants us to do as husbands and fathers, wives and mothers, as children, as parents, as business leaders, as government officials, as governors, and the President of the United States, in the U.S. Senate, the U.S. House of Representatives, city government, God's word needs to get through all of it. So decisions are based on what he says to do for other people and not to do to other people. This is important. It will take a lot of humility, my friends, to do this. But that's what we are called to do. Humble enough to say, I love you. Humble enough to say, please forgive me. I apologize. This is critical to our future, and it's God's calling. My friends, we're talking today about men and women of faith who did extraordinary thing with God's help. God's word said that man can do no great things, only God can do great things, but man can do extraordinary things with the help of our Lord Jesus Christ and our Father in heaven, working through the Holy Spirit. We've highlighted Henry Flagler in construction, who built Florida, Mother Teresa, who built more than 500 homes for the homeless and AIDS victims, working with 2,000 sisters for more than 40 years of tremendous service to the community, humanitarian work, and Martin Luther King Jr., who has ended segregation after working tirelessly, who gave his life for the cause as a martyr, okay? And people walked with him who also gave their life as well. John Kennedy, Robert Kennedy. And, you know, the three of those men, including Martin Luther King Jr., were killed in the 1960s. And it was a time of tragic and tragedy, and a time that was tragic for all of us as we mourn the loss of great leaders who were fighting for equality, fighting for justice, fairness. And this is what we must do today, my friends. We must go forward and close our eyes to the color of people's skin. We must close our eyes to the color of people's skin and where they live, and where they went to school, and to treat others as you would like to be treated. God calls us to practice the golden rule and to go forward from the ugliness of segregation, hostility, prejudice, and the rest of those things that go along with it. God calls us to be the best human beings that we can possibly be and fight for justice. And this is the Christmas season coming up, my friends. I want to thank you for tuning in with us today. We only have another 20 seconds, but I want to ask you to step up to the plate and do what you can to be a voice out there for justice and fairness and equality, and to bring the love of God into the hearts and minds of all you come in contact with. That's our show for today. May we see you next time here at Holy Spirit Radio and Finding God in Prison. Have a great day, and God bless. And don't forget, upcoming next week is the feast day of the Immaculate Conception. So pray, my friends, to our Blessed Mother Mary, through the heart of Mary, into the heart of Jesus. God bless you, and good day.